So in this way, what the Master prescribed is the divine attention from outside, raising up and giving contact with the God into expression power, which He expressed in two ways, light and sound. And when you are contacted with that, that will lead you where? From where it terminates. Wordless or nameless God, Absolute God, wanted to many. There were vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. This is what you must do. And they say, so long as you do not withdraw from all outside, you may spend hundreds of years in outer pursuit, you won't have it. Because it's the attention which when we draw from outside, we concentrate within our old self, only then that eye will open. As I submitted just now, all outward practices which relate to the outgoing faculties, body or intellect or mind, they are good actions. You become doer. As a doer you must reap what you sow. Your coming and going not ended. But when you see that power, that leads you where? To the direct way back to Absolute Lord. This is called Sutta Yoga. What you must give in the children of 5, 7, 9 years old, when they are given sitting, they are not intellectually developed. Even they, without their attention out and see light, 5, 7 years old, in the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born. And they were given a Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra word means rising above body consciousness, just see the rays of sun coming from above and rise into the sun. That's a prayer, O God, lead us there. They were given demonstration of light and sound. That custom still prevails, but Gayatri Mantra again, but demonstration of light is not given. The basic teaching of all religion. So my point for submission is, unless we come in contact with the world power, which is the cause of all creation, reverberating all creation, we cannot reach the world state. That is direct way to God. You say the ray of the sun and go along with it, that will take you where? To the sun, from where it emanated. So for that reason, they say, if you spend all your life in pursuit of God in the outward ways, they are good actions, they don't deny, but you will have to go round and round and round and round. Never reach back to the true home of your father. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. It is just like man is caught in conscription, and he has to work from morn till night, and he gets no wages. So too much labor, too much penances, too much time consuming, like you were doing, but the purpose for which you do, that is not attained. And that is the purpose to have beautiful vision of God. So long as why we can't see it? Because we are under the control of mind. Mind is in control of all those faculties, and that is driven by the outer enjoyment. We are identified with the body and outside world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Unless we rise above that, and how can we rise above that? By sitting at the feet of the Master. He gives you the very first and this very demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. All men who sit accurately, they testify their light, that they have seen the light of God. And that's the capital given to them at the very outstart. And this is what I submitted, the basic teachings of all religion. Of all masters. I have written one book, Normal World giving quotation from all scriptures of the Eastern world. Outer things have a reason, these are exotic parts of the religion. True religion means remits back legitimate. So long as we do not sit at the feet of a master, he gives us a book, something to start with, giving demonstration how to rise above body consciousness, our labors are not fruitful. So what is that? The guru or the master, you see, tells you how to analyze yourself from the body, as also by the outgoing faculties, as also for a while from mind and intellect. Raise you up above the body consciousness. So there, you see, you have got reference in the book, straight is the gate, narrow the way, you see. Most people dared go there but did not find the way. This is also for the set Christ probably, by whom many prophets of the past made efforts to see what you see, but did not find. Many of prophets tried to hear the things what you hear, and could not hear. These are the words of the Masters, you see, given in our scriptures. The pity is the right interpretation thereof, we do not have it. So what does the Master do? That very thing which was just submitted, Master puts the collegium of experience into your eyes, bringing your attention from all outside, raise you up to the eye level and open the inner eye, you see the light of God. Unless you come there, you cannot touch beyond. That's the gate from which you have to pass and go into the beyond. Again, you see, Guru Amar Das had this after 70 long years, efforts such. Again, he says, there are 10 doors in the body. 9 are apparent. 1 is lit in the 10th door. Apparent doors are 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth and 2 underneath. This is contact with the sense world, so long as you are there. 10th door is at back of the eye, where man who dies, leaves the body, reaches there at the back of the eye when the eyes are upturned, and that's the door, portal gate of death you have to cross. That's the 10th law. There when you rise, that inner eye is open and you see the light of God. You hear this? That's music of the sphere reverberating in all creation. So that is why, you see, Christ said, you must be reborn. I said, you be reborn, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God starts from the eyes upward. And this is also, you see, we are in the prison house of the body. Mala room tells us we are in the prison house. How can we come above it? He says, just break the roof and go up. Unless your attention is drawn from outside and from the body below, and arrive it into the 10th door, that is knocking the door which will be open to you, there you can cross into the beyond. He says, what you do, that so long as you do not close your 9 doors outside, your mind which is in the habit of roaming outside, you control it within you, and you come over to the 10th door completely, then you hear, first you see the light of God, then you hear the voice of God. So what is the criterion? That sound of God, or what you call music of the spheres, Mohammedan called Ikrame Kadeem, and others say Jyoti Marag and Shurti, Shurti Marag, sound principle, light and sound principle, that cannot be had unless you reach there. When that is dwelt, you can see that light and sound within and also outside, because your eyes are etherealized. As I showed you one example of microscope, our eyes come so much as the air is, so we can see, unless whatever is in the air that is magnified comes up to the level of our eyes, we cannot see. So such a man, he sees him inside and outside both. So long as you have not contact with that world power, nam power, or kalma, which is the cause of all creation, when you close your eyes, it's all darkness. When it is darkness, you can penetrate beyond and enter the kingdom of God which is within you. And who can help you? Unless you see, become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, you see and you, ego is lost, until then you will come and go, coming and going will continue. When you become conscious co-worker of the divine plan, then you see, he is the doer, I am not the doer. So your wheel of life is ended. Such a one, this, as I told you, this is just the ABC started by rising above body consciousness, their astral plane, their causal plane, their super causal plane. All masters have expressed these things in their own language, of course. And when you reach the shake of all coverings of the man body, to reach the true home of the Father, such a soul is never returned. If at all that is sent back to guide the child humanity, he does not come as a prisoner but to guide the child humanity. Such masters do come now and then. What is not without them? Any disciple, you see, Christ said, who has attained that improvement, you see, competency, then that work is carried on, you see. Not ended. One bulb is fused, the other is put on. So there is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. So the key of all that, how to open the door, lies in the hands of a master. His little attention will withdraw your attention from all outside, raise you up to the level of the eyes and open the door. And all this can be had to sit at the feet of such a master whose more details have given you last night. But Guru Amar Das says, meeting such a master is a great blessing. It is a great blessing to have a living master. Past masters, we are thankful to them, because they have left their experience of the beyond in the scriptures. All masters, whatever they had experienced, they gave out, and they are in the form of scriptures with us today. We are most fortunate in this 20th century. The all masters who came in the past, whatever they said, whatever they experienced, they are with us. And by parallel study of them, you will find they say the same thing. God is light, light is within you. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkened. The symbols of which are kept in the outer models, which are before you, for training you for that purpose, you might say. There is light in the church, there is light in the temple, there is light in the mosque and all the holy places, which is better and which is not better. They are all symbols of God. The such light is within you, which is the true temple of God. Just open your inner eye to see the light of God. And that key of opening the inner eye lies with the master. And who is that? That works that wonder, that the world made flesh, God in him. That God resides in every heart, of course. But where it is manifest, where he has been chosen to give guidance to child humanity, where he is in order to bring back children back to whom was the father, his little thought works it. So as I submitted, no son of man can do it, of course. But the son of man, in whom he is manifest, he can work wonders. So all credit goes to God. Towards the beginning you see, it was said, he is within latent also, when you see inside he is also. When you open your eyes, even you see that light of God, the sound wave vibrating in all creation. So when this is what the scriptures say, and Master say, we have seen, we have heard, and he gives us some capital to start with of opening, seeing the light and hearing the word. So this is experience you have when you sit at the feet of the Master. Of course, for that, true life is a necessity, true living, ethical life. So remain where you are, you see, and how it is all this had by coming in contact with the Naam power or word power. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. By coming in contact with Naam power, you see the light comparing to hundreds and thousands of suns rising together. So come in contact with word or Naam means, do you see light of God? If not, you have not come in contact with the world. Take the example. There is water, that is liquid. See, liquid. The name of the water in all languages is given by different names. It is called water, it is called jal, nirab, water in different languages. The word denotes that liquid by drinking which your thirst is satisfied. Not only repeating the words which denote that liquid. You follow? God is light. God is reverberating everywhere. These are the words to explain that. But unless you come in contact with that, your desire, your everything is not appeased. So that is called water of life, or the bread of life. So coming in contact with that thing, you find just cleanses of all our sins. There may be, what you say, many logs of wood put together, mounted, and you put little fire to it, all are consumed. Similarly, we may have got limitless sins standing against us when you come in contact with that light and sound principle which is the outward expression of God within us. By rising above body consciousness, all sins are washed away. This is washing. And that is, we see Him not with these eyes. Without physical eyes, we see His light. Without physical ears, we hear His voice. Without these outer feet, you traverse into the beyond. We have to work without this physical body. So this ABC starts when you rise above body consciousness. So there are Naam and word. One is the word, WORD, and one, that power which is the cause of all creation. That two aspects of which is light and sound. The word Naam is the word, denotes that power which is God into expression power by coming in contact with which you see light. You hear the voice of God. So He has got no name. Names are given by us. So call Him by any name. Names are given to just denote what He is. But unless you see Him, repeating sweet remembrance of Him by different names is good. That's for good action. But unless you see that light who is liberating all creation, you say that power is working, not I, then there's a real benefit derived from that. All coming, going is ending. all Master says, the world, all creation came after the world, isn't it? This also said, He is nameless, when He came into being, He is the cause of all creation, liberating all creation. The same thing you find parallel in all religions. What we have to do now? Read scriptures, that's the first thing. But there should be somebody to give the right interpretation of the statement given therein. I met a so-called saint, excuse me, with due deference to him. I went to him, well, what is inside? No light inside. Who says? It is all darkness. It is full of filth. Who says it is the true temple of God? Well, all Master said. Even in the, you see, palace you got bathrooms, is it not? So, body is the true temple of God. All this world came into being through word, through nam, through kalma, through the south, as the Mohammedans say. So, the spirituality is a head, I will say now, at the feet of a master who is prototype of spirituality, who is world made flesh. He rises above body consciousness at will, he makes the best use of all these outgoing faculties. Now we are driven by that because we have not become the master, we have not risen above body consciousness. So this is the teachings that the Master do give us. The man's body is the true temple of God, and people who are just given up, identified with the body outside and outward sense, they say, how can that body be the temple of God? With the grace of a Master, he opens, raises your attention from outside and up the body, and open this, your single eye, you see the light of God. If you, then thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. You see, you go like that, go to the scriptures, you'll find the same basic teaching everywhere. Pythagoras said, truth clothed in light, music of all harmonies. Aristotle, he says, I heard a sound which took me into the beyond, into the new world, world over. Zoroaster said the same thing. Anstaphan, Sarosya, Hindus also say the same thing. Mohammedans also say, light of God. Sikhs also say, even the Buddha also. He called towards the end of his life, all the disciples asked him, how did you attain to gold samadhi? Ananda and many others did relate their stories. They saw light this and that thing and heard the sound principle. And later he said, hear ye all. I tell you that increasing hearing is the way to golden samadhi. I am giving you these references why the basic teachings of all Master has been saying. For want of practical people, very few really give us those statements that are given in scriptures. And still more there are the people who can give it some capital to start with, some demonstration to start with. How to rise above body consciousness, how to open the inner eye, to you see and you testify it is so. So Kabir says three things are give long talks, lectures, write books, this and that. It is no. It is art. You have by habit, by regular study, this and that. But three things are very difficult. One, to have complete certainty of thought. Second, to control your mind to work under your control. Now that is begging us anywhere. And to rise above body consciousness, and these three things are difficult. All others are easy. So I just submit it to you that the man body in the temple of God. We are fortunate, we have got this man body, and to achieve this end, to see the light of God, to see God as beautiful vision. We have joined various schools of thought, the labels of which we are now carrying. We have to see how far we have succeeded. If we have succeeded that way, blessed we are. If not, we should hurry up. Time and tide waits for no man. So masters, when they come, they don't touch. They simply say, well, if God is within you, why are you going amiss? You may spend all your life outside, you won't find Him, because the nearest approach of Him is within you. He is controlling you in the body. So, blessed we are, we have got the man body. With the grace of somebody who is adept in that way, in which God is manifest, if we meet Him, He gives us the very first something to start with, and to go on until there is the true goal. So all saints tell us, they say, we are someday like you, controlled by outgoing faculties. Now we have arisen with the grace of God, working through masters. So such like masters do exist. There is food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. Any child which was born 5,000 years back, or 2,000, or 1,000, or 500 years back, God made arrangement of milk in the mother before the child was born. You know that law stands, and for future also the same. So those who got yearning for that, God is here within you. He will make some arrangement if you are true to bring you in contact with somewhere where He is manifest, where His grace is working, and He will give you a boost, put you on the way, and give you some capital to start with. But you have to work for it. ABC of this spirituality starts when you rise above body consciousness. When the world philosophy is ended, there the religion starts. This is what the Master said. Now it means that it is possible to rise above body consciousness, have scripture to say anything, to take up that subject tomorrow. These are interesting subjects, of course. And these are all the books for us, all scriptures for us. These scriptures, these religions were made for us. We were not made for the religions, mind that. Of course, we have to bow in some temple, must remain there. Otherwise there will be corruption. But to remain there and not rise above all isms, and see God reverberating all, everywhere, well, we do not derive the full benefit of joining any people, any out of isms. The basic teachings of all isms is the same. Only for want of practical people, we are not having that thing. You see, in our teaching, you see, they don't refer to these things, which are now being put before you. Very rarely. If they do put, then they are not competent to give you a start on the way. That is still rare. But anyhow, we've got the strong yearning to have the beautiful vision of God. God is within you. He will make arrangement. He does make arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can have that blessing from God. All I sit in sweet memories of God, praying to Him, O God, give us this beautiful vision. True prayer coming out of the hearts are heard by Him.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last 30 minutes of a talk called The Kingdom of God is Within You, given in New York City on October the 10th, 1972. Our reader this morning is Rudy Cascone. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, David.
Go right ahead.
All right, thank you. Today I'll be reading from Master's holy book, The Crown of Life, Yoga, an Introduction, beginning on page 9 in my book called the subchapter, Soul and Oversoul. So Master begins by saying, number one, soul is the reality and the essence. It is one as well as a totality. In one, there's always the delusion of many, and the totality does signify the existence therein of so many parts. The idea of a part and of a whole go cheek by jowl, and both the part as well as the whole are characterized by the similarity of the essential nature in them. Two, the essence of a thing has its own attributive nature, and the two cannot be separated from each other. Just as the essence is both one and many, so is the case with its attributive nature. Three, the essence of a thing is its johar, its very life breath. It is the only primal principle that pervades everywhere and is the reality behind all forms and colors. This active life principle is the very source of creation and goes variously by the names of Prakriti in the subtle, Pradhan in the causal, and Maya or matter in the physical world. Four, the attributive nature of a thing is its integrated part and parcel in which its nature adheres. Just take the case of light. Can light be conceived of as part apart from the sun, or radiant vitality apart from a glorious, healthy personality? One does not exist without the other, as the two are inseparable and fully embedded in each other. Five, any attempt to consider the two, nature and its existence, as separate, even if only in imagination, is bound to bring in the idea of duality. It is only in terms of this duality that one can conceive of the creation as distinct from the creative principle, as being a result of the outer play of the two of the twin forces of spirit called matter and soul. The scientific investigations, too, have now come to the irresistible conclusion that all life is one continuous existence at different levels, and what we call inert matter is nothing but energy at its lowest stage. In nature itself, both in the subtle and the causal planes, these two principles are always at work. God and Prakriti in the subtle, God and Pradhan in the causal, and soul and matter in the physical universe. The creation everywhere is but the outcome of the impact of the one on the other. Six, soul, then, is the life principle and the root cause at the very core, at the core of everything. for nothing can come into manifestation without it. It has a quickening effect and imparts its life impulse to the seemingly inert matter by contact with it. It is by the life and light of the quickening impulse of the soul that matter assumes so many forms and colors with their variety of patterns and designs which we see in the universe. 7. This life current or soul is extremely subtle, a self-effulgent spark of divine light, a drop from the ocean of consciousness, with no beginning and no end, and eternally the same, an unchangeable permanence, boundless, complete in itself, an ever-existent and all-sentient entity, eminent in every form, visible and invisible, for all things manifest themselves because of it. Nothing is made that is not made by it. The one remains, the many change and pass like the dome of many-colored glass, stains the white radiance of eternity. Shelley, the famous poet. 8. Just as the sun spreads out its rays in the world, as an ocean carries on its surface bubbles, ripples, waves, tides, and currents, and as a forest is made up of innumerable trees, so does Oversoul or God, when looked at through his creation, and appears to be split into so many forms, exhibiting and reflecting the light and life of God in the rich panorama of variegated colors. Yet his spirit runs through it all alike, just as a string through so many beads, while he, unconcerned, remains apart from all his in his own fullness. 9. The first downward projection of the spirit current as it emanated from God brought into manifestation ether, akash, which is the most subtle of the elements and spreads everywhere in space. This has two aspects. One is that of the spirit or soul remaining unmanifest in the ether, and the other, that of the manifested ether, wherein the two forces, positive and negative, which are inherent in each, further combined and brought into manifestation air, vayu. And exactly in the same way, the manifested air gave birth to fire, agni, and the manifested fire produced water, jal, and the manifested water led to the formation of earth, prathri, while the spirit of each element, which is essentially the same, remained unmanifest throughout. In the same way as above, what we call God has an essential godhood, absolute and imageless, the life and the spirit of the universe. And at the same time, the universe itself, with its varied creations, full of and manifesting so many forms and colors, appearing and disappearing like ripples in the sea of life, the unmanifest and impersonal God is free from all attributes, while his individualized rays, as manifested in countless forms and colors, by constant contact with Maya, Prakriti, and Pranhan, physical, subtle, and causal, feel themselves through ignorance of their true nature as limited and separate from each other and are thereby drawn into the ambit of the inexorable karmic law, or the law of cause and effect, which entails a consequence for every deed, every word, and every thought. What is unfulfilled in one life is fulfilled in another, and thus the giant wheel of life and death, once set in motion, goes on perpetually by the force of its own inexhaustible momentum. Herein lies the difference between the individualized soul on the one hand and the great soul of the universe called God on the other. The one being bound and limited, the other being without bounds or limits. Prakriti or matter. The term prakriti is a compound term, and it is derived from the Sanskrit root pra, meaning first, and kar, signifying to act. And this prakriti stands for original matter, latent energy, which when acted upon by positive spirit force brings into being the many forms, patterns, and designs in the vast creation of the great creator. This is called Maya. And all that can be seen or felt by any of these of the senses falls into the category of matter or prakriti. Matter, as explained above, is latent energy at its lowest level, which is quickened into activity, activated, and made to assume the many different forms that we perceive as patent. This process from passivity into activity of energy leads to creation or manifestation of the hitherto unmanifested spirit force. Brahman, or spirit force, comes into being only through a gross covering, kaya. Just as the totality of the seemingly individualized souls goes to make oversoul God, so also the mighty maze of the created beings and things with different forms and colors in their totality is called prakriti. Prakriti by itself can neither be felt by the senses, nor has it any existence of itself, but comes into manifestation only when acted upon by the spirit force. Just as the rays of the sun have no existence apart from the sun, and appear only when the sun rises in the horizon, so does prakriti in conjunction with the life impulse assume innumerable shapes and forms beyond the human ken. And the one invisible soul seems to get diversified into individualized parts with different names and varied species that baffle description and solution. Still, the yogins have taken into account the five koshas, or the enshrouding sheaths that have come to cover up the spirit current in its downward descent, and have devised and formulated ways and means to remove them. These koshas, or coverings, may briefly be described as 1. Vijñanmay kosh, covering of the mental apparatus or intellect with its two phases, one concerned with knowledge, gyan, on the physical plane, and the other with enlightenment, vijñan, on the spiritual planes. This is the first covering in which the spirit gets wrapped as it comes in contact with the subtle matter called prakriti. The light of the soul, as it reflects in the intellectual centers, brings into motion what is commonly known as intellect, consisting of inner spiritual perception and outer cognition. The soul, along with this reflected intellectual ability, becomes both cognitive and perceptive. 2, the manomai kosh. This is the second covering or sheath that the intellectualized or cognitive soul wraps around itself by further intensive contact with Prakriti, which now begins to reflect the mind stuff as well. And with this added faculty, the soul becomes inclined towards the mind and gradually gets mind-ridden. 3. Pranmai Kosh, the covering of the pranas, the vital airs, constitutes the third sheath around the soul. And as the thinking, cognitive, and mind-bound soul presses still further upon Prakriti matter, it begins to vibrate with pranas, which are of 10 types according to their different functions. This makes the cognitive and mind-bound soul to be pranmai, or impelled by a quickening effect. 4. Anamai Kosh. When the cognitive, mind-bound, and impulsive soul works upon the Prakriti, it forges therein yet another type of covering, that of anamai. This is the last of the 5 sheaths, and for its maintenance it begins to feel a continuing need for anna, or food stuff, and other sense objects. This anamai covering is just the inner lining of the physical body, gross matter, which in fact is its outer manifestation. It continues to wrap the soul even when its outer form, the body, declines, decays, and disintegrates. The existence of this coarse physical body depends upon the healthy condition of the anamai kosh on the inside of it. Some of the souls, even when they cast off the outer physical body, still hanker after food because of the anamai kosh, and hunt after the pleasures of the world and continue to haunt human habitation in their wanderings for satisfaction of their innate cravings. It is to satisfy these cravings of the physical disembodied souls that the Hindus perform pind dan or sadras and make propitiatory offerings to the manes, or the departed souls, so that they may find rest and peace. 5, however, is the anamai kosh, bliss. This is the first and foremost of the koshas, or coverings. This is almost an integral part of the soul. It is the most subtle sheath, like that of a thin covering over a lighted candelabra. One experiences it a little when in deep and dreamless slumber, shushupti. For on waking up, he retains a hazy idea of the anand, or bliss, that he experienced in that completely undisturbed state of rest. These, then, are the 5 koshas, or hajibs, curtains or covering mantles, as the Muslims call them, and they cover the soul fold within fold. The aim or purpose of all yogas is to gradually disentangle the soul from these coverings one by one until it is finally disengaged from all of them and is restored to its original and pristine, glorious state of self-luminosity, Swayam Jyoti, which is no less than that of several suns put together. This is the stage of Aham Brahm Asmi, or I am Brahm. And when attained, one not only feels himself to be at oneness with God, but actually hails God with the words, I am Atma Brahma. O God, I am of the same essence as thou art. Most of the yoga systems take this to be the be-all and end-all of all spiritual endeavors. This, in fact, is the highest and the last stage of self-realization. But it is yet a halfway house on the spiritual journey, a stage of no mean consequence, for it is from here that a rare soul starts towards the much-coveted goal of complete realization of God, since it is kud sanasi, self-knowledge, that gradually leads to kuda sanasi, knowledge of God. Self-knowledge and actual self-realization is the culminating point in the process of self-analysis, and without which one cannot proceed Godward and enter into the kingdom of God. In this process of inversion and withdrawal of the spirit within by rising above body consciousness and freeing the spirit from the tentacles of the body and mind, the easiest and quickest and surest process is by communion with the Shabd or the sound current, the Holy Word. And this is the only means for God realization. It is the most ancient way the world has known, coming down as it does from the dawn of creation itself. It is coeval with man from the day he became separated from his Father in heaven. All great masters of mankind gave this word to their disciples. This is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, as Christ put it. The relationship between the three bodies and the five koshas. The human body consists of three raiments, physical, astral, and subtle, or subtle, and the causal or seed body. In the physical body, we have all the five koshas or coverings, and this is why we, in our waking state, get some knowledge and experience of all the five things: bliss, cognition, inner and outer, mindfulness, chit and its vitris or mental modulations, planet vibrations, and the physical system. As one rises into the astral and the subtle body, one loses consciousness of the physical existence, while the soul mentally experiences the rest of the four states, viz. Bliss, cognition, mindfulness, and pranic vibrations. And as the spirit travels higher on into the causal body, even the mental apparatus itself drops off, and only the power of smriti, their remembrance, remains. And its witness says, and gives us an account of the bliss experience in that state. Division of creation according to the koshas. All beings from gods to man, as well as other forms of life, including plants, are classified into five categories in relation to the preponderance of one or the other of the faculties. One, purely cognitive beings like Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, etc. Two, beings endowed with mind stuff, Indra, and other deities, gods and goddesses, etc. Three, beings endowed with pranic vibrations, yakshas, grand harbats, and other spirits, etc. Four, physical beings, men, animal, birds, reptiles, insects, etc. The creatures endowed with physical bodies have all five koshas or coverings in them in varying degrees of densities. The anomai, vijinmai, manomai, pranomai, and anomai kosh. While these endowed with prana vibrations have but four koshas dropping off the anomai. Similarly, creatures gifted with mind stuff have but three dropping off the pranamai as well. And again, cognitive beings having but two, namely andamai and vijinmai, as they are freed from the shackles of the mind, the pranas, and the need for anna or foodstuff. There is thus a very close correspondence between the five primary elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, of which the bodies are made, and the koshas and coverings. In fact, the koshas themselves are more or less the effective result of the five basic elements and endow creatures with the five faculties enumerated above. Number five, the liberated soul, Jivan Mukta, has but a transparent veil of Andamai Kosh. Spirit in its pure and unalloyed form is the creator, for all creation springs from it, and is sometimes known as Shabd Brahm. It is the self-effulgent light, self-existent, and the causeless cause of everything visible and invisible. The spirit and God both are alike in their nature and essence, i.e. subtlety and bliss. This blissfulness is the very first offspring of the interaction of the soul and Prakriti, and being the primal manifestation of the Godhood in the soul, remains the longest to the end in its fullness in spite of the other four coverings enveloping it and bedimming its luster. Blissfulness, being the essential and inseparable quality of the soul, inheres in its very nature. This is why the searching soul ever feels restless and feels terribly the loss of its essence in the mighty swirl of the world. And this is why Christ emphatically declared, "Take heed that the light which is in thee be not darkness," St. Luke. Having thus lost sight of the inner bliss, we try to find happiness in the worldly objects and take momentary pleasure as a synonym for true happiness, but very soon get disillusioned. This leads to the innate quest for real happiness. It is the eternal quest in the human breast. And from outward, ephemeral, and evanescent pleasures, one is forced to turn inwards in search of true happiness. This leads on to the beginning of various yoga systems, one and all according to the needs of the individual aspirants. Persons with tendencies, animal instincts, and interested only in bodybuilding processes and developing the animic atma successfully take recourse to hatha yoga. Two, persons affected with wind or gastric troubles due to the obsession with the pranavayu or in their system can combat these with the help of prana yoga. And three, persons with manomai atma in their ascendant and suffer from mal, avan, and vikshap, i.e. mental impurities, ignorance, and modulations of the mind, can, with the help of Raja Yoga, conquer and pierce through the manomai kosh. Four, persons gifted with a strong intellectual bent of mind and ever engaged in finding the why and wherefore of things, such aspirants take to the path of Vijñāna Yoga. Those who are anxious to escape from the world and all that is worldly and seek bliss for its own sake have the path of the Anand Yoga or the Yoga of True Happiness called Sihaj Yoga. In the Sihaj Yoga, the aspirant does not have to undergo any of the vigorous disciplines characteristic of the other yogas. He must have a sincere and ceaseless yearning for the end of all ends, the goal of all goals, not content with the mere mastery of his physical and mental powers. And when there is such a longing, sooner or later he would find, as Ramakrishna found Totapuri, an adept to put him in touch with the vital life current within, and the current by its own force and attraction will draw him up without any excessive struggle or effort on his part. It is this that makes it, in the sense, the easiest of all yogas, and thus it is often called Sihaj Yoga, the effortless yoga. It can be practiced with equal ease by a child as well as an old man, by a woman as well as a man, by an intellectually gifted and ingenious as well as the simple-hearted, and by the sannyasin as well as a householder. It consists in attuning the soul to the spiritual current ever reverberating within. Hence, it is known as the Surat Shabd Yoga, or the Yoga of the Sound Current. With these preliminary remarks, we are now in a position to discuss the subject of yoga with its various essentials as taught by Patanjali. To understand the part that each plays, the technique involved therein, and how each step works out, and how far the yogic exercise helped practically in achieving the desired result. Liberation of the soul from the bondage of mind and matter, so as to realize its own potential nature as distinct from bodily consciousness. And then to rise into cosmic consciousness, and further on into super cosmic consciousness. It is the freed soul that has to experience awareness at varying levels from realization of the self to that of cosmic and ultimately to that of super cosmic or God. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for helping us on the way to perfection.
Thank you so much. What were you reading again? Could you remind us?
Yes, I was reading from the Crown of Life, starting on soul and oversoul in the subcategory.
There were 88 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
After all, we have to leave the body. This gives a demarcation of how to leave the body. If you work day-to-day regular practice, what you will find? When you time off your leaving body, you are jolly. You go smiling because you know to leave the body every day. All glory and beauty lies in you. God resides in you.